tipped in the air and knocked away. KU's got to win it. Blah, big time two-hand slam by Hunter Dickinson.
Kaya Franklin with the steal, takes it inside, and one opportunity.
This is the Jayhawker Podcast, presented by the University of Kansas Health System.
Welcome to the March Madness edition of the Jayhawker Podcast. I am Greg Gurley, along with Wayne Simeon, brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System, Xfinity, and Black and Veatch. We've got a lot to talk about today, buddy. Men's bracket, women's bracket, where we're going, how to get there, where the events are. It's going to be fun. I was in Salt Lake City 5 years ago. I had a great time right before the game started. And then once the Auburn game started, it was one that we'd like to forget, but got an opportunity to go out to Salt Lake and reset after the final 2 weeks of our season didn't really go as planned, win-loss wise, injury-wise, everything wise. But the beauty of the tournament is you get to reset. And that couldn't come at a better time for this squad.
Indeed, indeed. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Come on, baby. Wow. That's how I'm feeling right now. March,
didn't expect
basketball guys, loving this time. And let's get after it, man. I'm feeling the juice from Selection Sunday. Got a chance to watch both of the selection shows with the teams yesterday. And speaking particular to the men, and I know that we're going to be circling back to the Big 12 tournament for both of our programs. But hey, listen, it's March. We're excited. Like, stop the pity party. Stop four seed, not healthy, not this, not that. It's March. We're Kansas. We got what it takes. We're resetting. It's time to get after it. Blue blood. Like, you know, what's the streak at? I mean, we're top of the streak for consecutive NCAA tournament appearances, 34, 35. I mean, how impressive is that? You know, you watch the selection shows and you see teams like Virginia, like a Samford, who are elated to have their name called. Listen, it's special. It means something. It's difficult to get invited to this tournament, let alone to be able to play in it and win it as many times as we have. And so, look, let's get off the pity party. Let's get off the hesitancy and the doubt and being a naysayer and half foot in, half foot out. It's March. We're Kansas. We got both teams in. Let's go.
Well, how about this, too? We're not an underdog by any stretch, but nobody's talking about us. I mean, they're talking about us to be upset by Samford, but I kind of like it. Like, every year we go into this as a one seed or a two seed or worst a three seed, let alone a four, and everybody's gunning for us. Last year we got chopped down by Arkansas, and that was more of our own doing than theirs. I think we lost that game more than they won it, and we got an opportunity to put all those things aside, start fresh, try to rekindle the mojo and the swagger that we had when we dismantled Houston, when we dismantled dismantled is probably not the right word, but think about it. UConn and Houston, both number one seeds. Who do we beat? UConn and Houston. Who else do we beat? Tennessee and Kentucky. So we don't have to go very far to get these guys back mentally strong with their confidence. Like, when you're clicking, you're as good as any team in the country. You're not the 16th best team. You could be the best. And I'm glad you kind of said, pity party, feeling sorry for ourselves, injuries, all that. And we're about to talk about some of that right now. But once we talk about it, it's over. And what I'm going to bring up was the Houston game where Hunter got hurt. Kevin didn't play in the second half. You look at the final score, it was ugly. It's awful. 30 points. I want to forget it. 5 days later, we go to Kansas City knowing that Hunter isn't going to play. And Kevin decided, and our people decided not to play Kevin because Hunter wasn't playing. We didn't have much of a chance. We had a puncher's chance, and it didn't happen. I love the fight and the resiliency after we had a horrible first half to get it within two in the second.
Yeah, boys from heart.
We had four or five possessions when we were down, only two, that we couldn't capitalize. And it's so hard to come back when you're down double digits. And then when you go on a drought, they ended up, you know, making shots. We didn't. We always create a narrative whenever we lose in the Big 12 tournament, which isn't very often. I mean, what have we won? 12 out of 27 Big 12 tournament titles. The next closest is Iowa State, I think at 5. But you would think that we never win it and everyone's better than us. And I think it's so annoying, especially when we're not in it. But anyway, that's up for the Iowa State fans can take it over. We were at home just watching tape, getting healthy, practicing, coming up with a plan. And we always create a narrative, as we should. Hey, we lost on Wednesday. That gives us 7 days off where we can rest, where we can get ready. And, you know, it's great to win it. But you know what? Really doesn't mean much. You know, do you think, how do you think Auburn feels right now? They won the SEC tournament championship and they're a 5 seed. Like, they're like, why do we do this?
Yeah, no one's talking about that today. They're not really thinking about it today. It kind of goes away like that. But hey, you know, it is important because we're all competitors. We work hard every time we step on the court. Every time there's an opportunity to win a championship, you want to step up and do that. Big round of applause to Kansas City. Big round of applause to Commissioner Yormark for locking in the Big 12 tournament all the way until 2031. Kansas City guys like you and I, we love that because believe you me, there's no place better. Like, we've been to Oklahoma City. We've been to Dallas. You're just another event in those municipalities. When you come to Kansas City in the second week in March, it's Big 12 time. And didn't disappoint. The environment didn't disappoint, but obviously we were a little bit undermanned and outmatched when it came to our draw there with Cincinnati. And, you know, I don't think anyone was shocked, obviously, with what happened there. Mauled on the glass. Their huge team had a lot to play for. But our boys fought hard, though. Like, they fought hard, and I love that you mentioned their fight, getting all the way back, cutting the lead to 2. But it still felt like with 12 minutes left, gosh, I don't know if we have enough closing power because we were really only playing with 6 guys. I know Parker Brown was in the rotation, but not really because he himself was nursing an injury. But, you know, I appreciate their fight. They got after it. You were hoping that some of those other guys would have a little bit of a better of a game to be able to build confidence, some of those younger guys that have been laboring. But, hey, at the end of the day, glass half full. You can see it possibly potentially lending itself to us getting healthy and being able to get ready for the tournament.
Well, let's be honest. Let's say we beat Cincinnati. We go up against Baylor.
Ooh, that's got a handful. Yeah.
Scorers that can, you know, defend, score. They got a bench. So don't want to predict the future. And obviously hindsight going back, losing on Wednesday, just don't like the way we lost. And it's just not the Kansas way, but making excuses and moving forward. We weren't playing. We weren't in the fight with enough bullets in our gun. And it just, that's how it works. So let's put that behind us. Let's move on. Selection Sunday was great. You and I gathered with the team and the support staff over at McCarthy Hall, had a great meal. It was great weather. It's great. And it should be. It should be celebrated. We've had a great year. Like, yes, the last month has been frustrating, but we are a 4 seed. 99% of schools around the country would love to be a 4 seed. And or a lot of those schools love to be in the tournament. Our friends to the West, they're playing in the NIT, you know? So, hey, we're all doom and gloom. We're a 4 seed. We got to go to Salt Lake. Hey, I like these kind of problems.
Yeah, you know, you can call them your friends. They're my rival. If you want to call them friends, you can go ahead and do that. But no, I'm excited. And you know what? I like our draw. You know, usually, you know, historically we've been, you know, 1 seed, 2 seed, and you know, I love hanging next to Norm Roberts during Selection Sunday because he's always the one that goes straight towards, oh man, we got messed over. Oh man, we got the toughest one ever. Hey, I'll tell you what, man, there's some tougher regions out there than ours.
How about you and I yesterday? We were talking, you and I watched the show together a lot. And I think in 22, when we were together, You and I both were kind of like, we both looked at each other and tried not to talk. I wanted you to go first. You wanted me to go first. and we both kind of said the same thing. I'm like, God, I kind of like it. Because at that time, we didn't want to play. There was a few teams in the SEC at that time that you and I both were like, I don't want to see them because they got athletes. And who do we get? We got like Creighton. And we got Villanova eventually. We got Miami and Providence, and there was Iowa State in there. And you and I were like, man, I don't want to jinx it, but I kind of like it. And then we won the first two games, and you and I were like, all right, Chicago doesn't look too bad. And then we win Chicago, and like, hey, we got a chance to win this. Not, I mean, we're always cocky. We think, but you and I are pretty real and honest and with each other. We know and we know basketball, and it worked out. And to your point, I kind of looked at this now, and yes, Samford's a good team. They shoot a ton of threes, and the narrative's going to be discussed that we struggle against teams that shoot the three well. They shoot the three well. They shoot a lot of them. We just saw it 3-4 weeks ago when BYU came in and beat us and made a lot of threes. So obviously that's – I just like it when we get in the tournament after the gauntlet of the Big 12 – and our plays start to work better because Samford hasn't seen hours and hours and hours of tape on us. And if they have, it's been in these 3 or 4 days before they play us, and you can only watch so much. Iowa State knows our plays before we run them. Baylor knows our plays before we run them. So you got to be able to adapt in the tournament. Some of your stuff works more. And now, defensively, that is what it is. You got to adapt to the other team, but I really like our draw. Gonzaga was a team 4 weeks ago that may not have been in the tournament. They were talking about them not making it, and they're a 5 seed, and that's our 5 seed. They've been unbelievable for a long, long time, but this isn't the same Gonzaga team that we're used to.
Well, I think that same argument could be made about us, and that we're not the same Kansas team that people are used to seeing, especially considering our health. But, you know, when you think about our region, I think if you could have picked a 1 seed that was going to be in our region, who would you have picked? Purdue, right? In terms of how we match up and who we can most likely beat. Now, granted, we have a ton of work to do before we get there. But the reason I like the Samford matchup and most notably, you know, they make a lot of threes, right? Any mid-major that you're going to run into the first weekend is going to shoot a ton of threes. That's the great equalizer is the three-point line. But I think it's a little bit different from them in the sense that the teams that we've struggled with that shoot the three well are teams that that cause us to have to help off dribble penetration and they can spray it out to another guy, or teams that have a post player that we have to double team or that is a really, really good passer at a double team. I don't quite think that Samford has that type of capability. I watched their SoCon conference championship game against East Tennessee. I'm really tied in with a bunch of guys from Furman who are in that conference that play them regularly. And I do like Buckyball. Coach Bucky McMillan, their head coach out there, the version of fun basketball that he plays where they press a ton, make or miss. They play a bunch of different defenses. They throw a bunch of different zones at you. It's kind of fun, but none of it really intimidates me. We do well against the press because we've got guys that can handle the ball, and coach is great about staying there. The best way to beat a press is to be aggressive with it. The type of presses that we've struggled against historically are the ones that foul a lot, and they don't typically do that. And then I think that we can match up man for man and stay in front of these guys where there shouldn't be a ton of dribble penetration, where we're having to overhelp, and then they're able to spray the ball out to the open guy. They've got an active big man in Okoro-Okoro. He's 6'9", kind of versatile guy, but again, isn't all that intimidating. I think he's a great matchup for KJ Adams if we want to glue him to him. And we know what type of disruption KJ produces on the defensive end. And so I feel good about the matchup, even though the sheer numbers say, oh, volume shooting three-point team. I think it's a little bit different the way this team scores threes as opposed to the way that BYU scores threes. Now, granted, they'll pitch ahead. They'll shoot it in transition. If we're not sound and principled on the defensive end, where we have our young guys making mistakes. They can hurt us there. But I think man for man, I think we can stay in front of these guys and we match up really, really well.
Well, and I think a part of what you said in there is true. When they press a lot, when Kansas gets pressed a lot, we excel. Because to your point, Bill likes to attack. You treat that as a transition opportunity. So when they make a basket and they press you, get a guy in the middle. You got one of the best point guards in the country in DeJuan Harris. And once you beat that initial press, then you got to attack. Because if
numbers,
you don't.
It's numbers on the other end. Yeah.
It's a numbers game. And if you don't, then you're just playing into their hands. They don't get a steal, but you retreat, run your box sets or whatever. But, you know, I remember the Missouri game a couple years ago. They were 12-0. We go to Columbia. They press a lot. We dismantled them. Just absolutely dismantled them. That's athlete versus athlete. This is Big 12 athletes versus a mid-major or whatever. So I think our athleticism, even though we're not the most athletic we've been in a long time, but we're still size, speed, knowledge, basketball IQ. I like the fact that they're going to press us. And it'll be interesting to see how long they stick with it. It's kind of like when Baylor runs that zone against us. We pick it apart. I wish they would have played zone against us the whole game, because Bill's so good at putting guys in the right position to attack, and we score all the time. Same way against that zone. It'll be interesting to see how long they stick with it if we have success against it.
Yeah, it is. And I would forecast that they would stick with it for a while. I mean, this is who they are, right? Because they play platoon style. They get five guys in, five guys out. They want to press the entire game. I think Baylor kind of dabbles with some pressure. They dabble with zone kind of in and out until they get hurt. You know, I wouldn't be shocked if we saw that type of pressure and up-tempo pace from Samford the entirety of the game. I think that will be something interesting to watch, because they do play so many guys, because we aren't technically healthy, because we only play, you know, seven guys at most. You know, what that'll look like. I'm not all that familiar with their second five, and I can't quite identify maybe a player on Samford's team, at least in that second unit, that I think is a legitimate threat that could really hurt us. And so that'll be interesting to see. I think one of the things that's important for us early is to weather and handle the pressure, and then weather and handle the three. Because, listen, Samford's playing with house money, right? They've got nothing to lose. They are not supposed to beat Kansas in this game. And so what's going to happen when they come out and maybe they force two quick turnovers against us and get an easy layup? What's going to happen when they hit their first two threes? Are we going to panic? Are we going to get back on our heels? Or are we going to stay poised and composed in being able to kind of weather that storm? Because they got out to, I think, maybe an 11-2 run against East Tennessee in that SoCon championship game. And then Eastern Tennessee was able to kind of weather that first initial wave and then kind of stick in the game and make it close there at the end. And so I think that'll be very, very important for us, is to see how we're going to weather those runs. Because, look, there's a reason why Samford is in the tournament. There's a reason why they won their conference. There's a reason why they won their conference tournament. Look, all these teams in the Big Dance are there for a reason, because they're good ball teams, right?
And they're 29-5. They won 29 games. You don't win 29 games no matter what level you're at. 29 out of 34 games. That's a really good basketball team, and they deserve to be here. But like you said, when they get a couple turnovers, we commit a couple turnovers, they hit a couple threes, then just the weight of the world is on your shoulders, because you know the entire country is watching, hoping that non-Kansas fans, hoping that you get beat, because they love the underdog. This is the term. That's what makes it great. And we've got to be able to be resilient and have the guts to weather. There's going to be runs. You don't get calls. Things don't go your way. Balls rim out, whatever. How are you going to react in the moments of adversity?
I've said it on here before that during the tournament, when you are a top seed, now it becomes a road game, because the only people that are cheering for you to win in that arena is your home fan base. Everybody else wants to see Kansas lose. Everybody else wants to see an upset. And you can really kind of feel the tide turn, Greg. You know what it's like being in these neutral, air quote, environments when, you know, so much is at stake. And so that's why you got to have a tight huddle. We got to have our fans be able to show up. I know we only get, what, 400 tickets, that, you know, that are going to be there from our allotment. Got to be there to show up ready to support the guys and to really be able to get after it there. And, you know, one thing that's interesting that we saw missing, obviously, in Kansas City was the big fella in the middle. And I know we throw it to him a ton. I know we try to get him the ball and get him engaged early and often. I know some folks maybe are a little bit critical of that, but you don't really know how valuable he is and how much we need him until he's not there anymore. We labored to score against Cincinnati, and they're not a great defensive team, but man, when you don't have a player like Hunter there in the middle that can obviously get you easy baskets, can get fouled and get to the free throw line, but also is a great passer out of the double teams, like, it makes it extremely difficult. And as I look at and survey the Samford, you know, roster, they don't have a Hunter Dickinson. Like, they don't have anyone that can really match up with. They got a couple of 7-footers that come off the bench. One guy that transferred from Baylor who isn't quite the impact player maybe that he needs to be to stop Hunter. But it's going to be really, really important to make sure that he's back and maybe not into full form in which we've seen him there, because he's coming back from that shoulder injury. And a lot of what he's going to be experiencing on Thursday is kind of testing that out. And there's a couple more practices leading up to that. But I do think that he'll be a pretty big equalizer and a factor when it comes to tip on Thursday.
Well, you said it best in life and your job and your team, whatever it is, if you don't realize how good somebody is until they're gone. And that's without, like, I don't think our fan base truly understands the importance of Hunter Dickinson in the middle. Could he be a 25-15 guy? Sure. He's an 18-10 guy. Okay. Yes, it could have been better, but he's been really good for us. He flattens out the defense. He causes double teams. He's a great passer. And when it's not there, there's not a real threat. Like, you can only run a ball screen with DeJuan and KJ so many times. They're going to defend it. You can only do certain things so many times that are successful. These teams are smart. Wes Miller is a really good coach. He's going to take things away. And they did, without the threats of Kevin and Hunter on the floor. Now that they're back, how does Samford guard that? And that's going to be the main question. So we hope that it's a pick your poison type defense. Like, they're going to have to decide, are we going to double team him? That's going to give him the open shot. Are we going to let him go? You know, what's really going to be interesting to watch for me is Hunter, the way that he plays. And you can speak to this as a big guy. Hunter's not a great, he's very strong in his legs, but I don't think he uses his legs enough. He's a very upright guy, and he's got to use his arms to kind of get open. That might go away with his shoulder on his right arm. He has to move and leverage and all that, which might teach him to have a better base. He might have to utilize his legs because he does such a good job of getting position at times, but then allows a guy to root him out. And if he can hold that position, catch the ball lefty, you know. And that's what I want to see out of Hunter. One of your favorite players growing up is who? Richard Scott. Richard Scott was 6'4", 6'5", but he could post you up because he'd get unbelievable position because he had strong legs. He would seal and he'd get it. That's the way you operated. You were great at getting position, holding it, and scoring. And maybe that's what Hunter, just by default, because of the injury, is going to use more on Thursday.
Yeah. Hopefully that's the case. And, you know, I'm unfortunately all too familiar with shoulder injuries and what that entails, the rehab, how it affects your confidence, how it affects your play. And I think you hit the nail right on the head in terms of, you know, the arm battles that Hunter gets into, that any post player gets into when you're fighting for position, when you're holding off the defense, when you're going after rebounds. And I know that Coach mentioned in his press conference right after the selection show that Hunter had two good days of practice, albeit no contact during those practices. And so I think that these next couple of days where he is practicing with contact hopefully it's an opportunity for him to build confidence, to have that thing hit, to get a feel for it and understand, hey, you know, what are my limitations? How can I use it? I think that'll be important going forward. Not only in the Samford game, again, who don't have big lumbering size or post players, but as you look to the next matchup, which both of those teams are concerning, because Gonzaga does have those type of guys. I mean, their starting front line is like 6'9", 6'9", 6'11", 245, like strong physical guys who in all intents and purposes are probably one of the top offensive rebounding teams in the country. Now, McNeese State, who's probably more of a concern for me, is a whole nother animal, because they got three or four dudes that are looking to exploit matchups, and they can go get their own basket. So what does that mean? Because we like to switch, it's going to be dribble handoff, dribble handoff, dribble handoff. Hey, let's look for the matchup we want. And we usually know who those matchups are, and they allow those dudes to be able to go and to get a basket. And of course, I think Will Wade is a great coach as well, who likely will be a Power 5 head coach after this nice little run. Hopefully not West Virginia, which, like, if I you know, were a guessing man, I would think, hey, he's probably going to end up at West Virginia at some juncture. But, you know, we could figure that out a little bit later on. But back to your original thought, it is going to be important for Hunter to get a feel for what he's capable of in the post with that shoulder, and then how that plays out with all these matchups that we have ahead of us.
I'm what you might call very good at hide and seek. This one time, my parents had to round up the whole neighborhood to track me down. It was a mess. A lot of tears. Well, now that we got Xfinity, we have Wi-Fi all over the house, including all my favorite super secret hiding spots. So I can kill time in here by streaming my shows and—
Ha! Found ya.
The heck? How?
You left to find my tablet on.
This generation, ruining the game with their performance enhancers.
Get wall-to-wall Wi-Fi on the Xfinity 10G network for a reliable connection throughout your home. Now through March 21st, new customers can get started with 200 megabit internet for $25 a month for 2 years with no annual contract, and get Wi-Fi equipment included. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires paperless plan, auto pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. After promo, regular rates apply to internet service and Wi-Fi equipment. Actual speeds vary. Xfinity 10G network brings improved speed, security, reliability, and latency. Xfinity 10 gigabit service tier subject to permitting and construction requirements.
So we haven't really talked about Kevin very much, and I believe that Kevin would have played in the Big 12 tournament if not for the Hunter injury. We kind of white flagged it and just said, all right, let's get the second half of the Houston game all the way to Thursday in Salt Lake, and it was the right move. It's been tough over the last 3-4 days not being in the tournament. Hell, I got to go. I haven't done this in a long time. I went to a game on Thursday and watched TCU in Houston from a suite, had a couple beers, and I haven't watched a basketball game without broadcasting it in, I don't know, 25 years. It was kind of fun. I was like,
did you cover your ears like you had a headset on, and did you call Brian Haney and ask him to talk to you, man? How was that?
No, I was in a suite. I had some Modelo's. I was having the time of my life on a Thursday afternoon watching games, and I was like, it was just different for me, and I had a great time, but I miss it. And it was a game I could care less about. I didn't care if TCU or Houston. It was actually kind of a bad game. So it was fun, though, just to kind of take everything in a different way from what I've done for, you know, half my life. But anyway, back to Kevin. The bone bruise, 7 days off, 8 days off is key. And that, I think you're going to see a different Kevin. I mean, this is his last run, and he's a competitor. So I think sky's the limit for Kevin. I think this break was huge for him, where he can just take time off. And again, you think about it, all he played was the first half of that Houston game. And now here we are all the way to what is today, the 18th, back to the 21st. So a lot of time off, a lot of time to heal. We talk about it all the time. The one thing you don't have in the middle of the year is time, unless you create time by missing games. That's what he did. And that's a smart move. Going to have a semi-full strength, if that's even a possible statement, Kevin McCullough, and a semi-full strength Hunter Dickinson, but I'll take that any day of the week. And you know, I was a little disappointed. I know I wasn't going to talk about the Cincinnati game anymore. I was a little disappointed at you know, Johnny Furphy Nick Timberlake, and you know, we just shot the ball so bad. They all had a chance to play with a free mind, like you and I talked about. Like, all right, this is opportunity for these guys, and they just didn't capture it. Yeah, it is what it is. Learning experience, but hopefully they can find some rhythm with their two pillars back in there, Kevin and Hunter.
Yeah, it's interesting as you think about Kevin and fighting through his injury, which is extremely difficult, not only physically but also mentally. Again, having to yo-yo back in and out, you know, having good days and bad days. I think the advantage that he has over Hunter is that he knows what it's like to play with his injury. He knows what he's capable of. He knows his limitations, and so hopefully he's feeling the best that he's had in months and ready to get after it. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that there won't be the rust there. You know, I'm thinking back when he came back for the Baylor game at Waco, was able to do some good things, but missed a couple bunnies and maybe was a step late on a couple things. And you know, hopefully he gets, you know, enough quality practice reps to where he can work some of that rust off. But of course, this is a better Kansas team, even with a hobbled Kevin McCullough. And so we need him on that court. And I think the same thing could be said about Hunter Dickinson. And so with that in mind, you know, I think it's fair to go in with higher expectations from a competitive standpoint, knowing that your two All-Americans that combined for 28 points a game some version of that is going to be out there on the court, which is better than the version of Kansas basketball that we saw without him.
Yeah, and we gotta really celebrate the positives. We got to look back and say, like I said early on, remember in Hawaii, we beat Tennessee. We beat Kentucky. We beat UConn. We beat a lot of really, really good teams. We did Houston, not the overall number one seed, but right there, they laid an egg against Iowa State in the Big 12 championship. But all we got to do is show that film. We're done with the negativity. We're going to utilize Coach Q's positivity, Paul, and we're going to Tony Robbins this whole deal, right? We're no more naysayers, no more feeling sorry for yourself. We got a great opportunity, like Bill talks about every year. We have three two-game tournaments, right? We're going to go to Salt Lake City, win a couple games, come home, do some laundry, get some clean underwear, go back out on the road to Detroit, which is lovely, in the end of March. I don't know if you've ever been to Detroit at the end of March, but it'll be spectacular and beautiful, just like Salt Lake, right?
Yeah, yeah. And you mentioned a couple of
Were you listening?
I was, but I'm thinking about you. You mentioned a couple other teams, and I know you got the brackets in front of you. Just from a holistic standpoint, like, what are some things that stick out to you? What are some things that stick out to you as far as your bracket's concerned? What matchups catch your eye? Who are you going to be cheering for in addition to the Jayhawks? I'm not asking for a prediction or a win or anything like that, but just what are some matchups you like?
Well, if we just go to the Midwest, okay, our bracket, you know, you look at Purdue and a play-in game, they advance. You know, Utah State has kind of been a sexy pick, I guess. I don't know much about them. TCU, we're going to be rooting for them. You know, I think Purdue's got a pretty easy walk into the Sweet 16. And then as you go through it, you know, Oregon down at the bottom part of our bracket, you got them playing South Carolina, which they've had an incredible year. Creighton, although didn't win the Big East tournament, dropped a couple late, they're really dangerous. Are we going to root for Texas on their way out of the conference? Still better for the Big 12, right?
I struggle with that. I'll leave that to you. I'm horns down for now.
Okay, let's skip that one. Tennessee, I think their ability to defend really, and they've got one of the best scorers in the country in Dalton Connect.
I like it. See, that is one of the most intriguing matchups to me. And you know that the selection committee knows these things and likes to set those things up, a la how many times you've played North Carolina in the last several tournaments. But when I saw that, of course, I'm like, ooh, I want that matchup. I want Tennessee versus Texas, the avenging of Rick Barnes and the way that they showed him the door a little bit too early. Now, he's done a great job, probably found some resurgence even in his own 100%. Love for the game and his own career. And then, of course, I'd like to see the Vols take it to the Longhorns as they're on their way out of the Big 12. So that was one of the matchups that I'm really excited about.
What was that, 7-8 years ago? He gets fired by Texas and got the Tennessee job like 2 hours later. I know it might have been 2 days later, but Tennessee's like, you're going to fire him and we can hire him? Yes. Throw a bag of bunny at him. And what a great coach to get like that. He doesn't have to change his wardrobe. He's still got a bunch of orange.
I think it's a little bit of different orange. I think it's a little different tint.
True. But he took Tennessee up to that next level. I mean, that's our bracket. You know, as you scan through the other, you know, North Carolina was a really, really hot pick out there. But they get their 2 seed is Arizona. And Arizona was probably fighting for that other 1 seed. They didn't get it because they lost in the Pac-12 tournament. And then Iowa State's a team that, is anybody playing better than them down the stretch, even though they dropped one to K-State last week in Manhattan? But Iowa State ran through that tournament and I say dismantled again. I don't know why I use that word with Houston, but Houston barely scored. So defensively, I think Iowa State has what it takes to win it all. And they do have that offense with Lipsy and others that can really hurt you. So I do like Iowa State out there. I really thought they could be a 1 seed. I mean, we talked so much about how the Big 12 conference is the best conference in the country, and they won the Big 12 tournament. They were a game off of winning the league title. I was a little bit surprised that they didn't get it. I mean, they have an identical record with North Carolina, but possibly blue blood status got them a little ways. Some of the other storylines, I was kind of surprised that Michigan State getting in, when you really look at the resumes of them with other teams like that. But I think that's the Tom Izzo effect. Yeah. You know, the other teams in our, you know, BYU is an interesting pick. They're kind of like a Samford that shoots a ton of threes, and they can be, we saw how dangerous they can be. So BYU right there, I know I'm bouncing all over, but, even about, I don't know, after we left Houston, I really thought that this is the year that Houston could win it all. What they have on both sides of the floor, they're great defensively. They got an elite point guard that can get you buckets whenever. And they have those, you know, other guys that can score. Now, they proved on Saturday in the Big 12 championship that they can struggle against a good defensive team. But if they met Iowa State, it would be in the national championship game. So I think Houston is coming out of the South. I'm a homer, so of course Kansas is coming out of the Midwest, right?
Of course.
I'm going to go with Baylor out of the West. I'm not sold on Carolina or Arizona. And then let's go with Iowa State in the East. All right, I've rambled long enough. Go.
Hey, I don't really have much to add there. I don't have a bracket in front of me. I'm not going Final Four or line by line. I mentioned the matchup that caught my eye outside of a Kansas matchup in Tennessee and UT. I think another sexy pick is James Madison, JMU. Like, they've been a sexy pick in multiple sports because their football team has been fantastic. Their basketball team has been fantastic, and they're a dangerous team the way they
score. They beat Michigan State in the season opener this year.
Yeah, they did. Beat them pretty handily, and that really set the tone for them the rest of the year. And then I think you and I have talked about it offline. I got a big eye on Grand Canyon University because one of the best stories in all of college basketball this year is former Jayhawk Tyon Grant Foster, who had a phenomenal, not only regular season, for the Lopes, but also had a phenomenal conference tournament in the WAC, being the conference MVP there, and just great. I mean, just so fun to see what he's been able to do coming back from the heart issue and having to take a year off. He was around here, came to our 125th a reunion, was able to celebrate with the guy. Still feels like he's very much a part of this place, and he is. And then to go on and have the type of season that he's had, a season that actually could work himself into being a pro, at some level, at the very least having a shot at the NBA. And again, they're playing free And so I'm going to be checking that those matchups out for them as well.
Yeah, Tyon, what a great story. You know, he came here, it was during COVID, and never just clicked. Couldn't really get going. Then you mentioned his health issues, but so he's one of the best kids ever. I mean, we all got to know him, and he was just nice.
Kansas City kid, KCK kid, worked his way up the hard way through junior college. I mean, a great story. And he kind of reminds you of Keontae George's story, you know, who had the heart issue and found himself out for medical reasons and worked himself back to be, you know, having to be a
Keontae Johnson.
Keontae George, you know, former Baylor guy. You're right. Thank you for correcting me on that. And so, yeah, go Tyon in the fight in Lopes.
Yeah. So obviously the best in our eyes, you and I, this is like our favorite time of the year. You know, we get to travel. We get to see people that we haven't seen all year. We get to watch our Jayhawks hopefully win a couple games. I mean, it's great. You know, our women also got in the tournament.
I like their matchup too. And it was great to see them, get a win in Kansas City, which cemented them in the NCAA tournament. I tell you what, it was a whole nother experience to watch the selection show with them yesterday, knowing that they, you know, solidified themselves in being an 8 or 9 seed, which they were. And
whose huge dog was that that ran through the?
Oh, that was that was Coach Snyder's dog. I think they're called Labradoodles. He's got two Labradoodles, and
that didn't look like a doodle. Doodle to me sounds small. That looked like a Great Dane. Was that not a huge dog?
Nah. It wasn't a Great Dane. I'm not well versed in dog species. I don't really like dogs all that much, but I think it was a Labradoodle. So, but he was excited like everybody else was when the room lit up when Kansas's name was called. And hey, I like the matchup there against Michigan, a team that dropped two to Nebraska, who we beat earlier in the year. And then
Kansas
also
is at 19-12, Michigan at 20-13, playing in Los Angeles on Saturday morning, which is kind of Saturday morning out there, 1 o'clock Central. The Jayhawks will take on the Wolverines, and they'll be playing in USC's home arena. So, check that out on Saturday. It'll be a great day to be a Jayhawk. You can watch the women play early, and then hopefully see us at some point later on that Saturday in Salt Lake.
Yeah, and I think if you ask them if they could pick which number one seed they had to go up against, that USC would be the one. You know, you don't want to have to go to South Carolina and play in front of because on the women's side, the one seeds get a chance to host. So you got to go to their home turf. So you don't want to go to South Carolina. You don't want to go to Iowa City. Texas was their fourth one seed. You don't necessarily want to have to go to also, go out to California, where the home court advantage in California is a little bit different because it's LA. There's a ton of other stuff to do. Right. And so I'm not quite sure if the home crowd, though they've got a phenomenal player. Listen, a lot of
people
obviously of Caitlin Clark, and it's certainly well-deserved. But Juju Watkins could be the next coming of Caitlin Clark in terms of her ability to score. She's phenomenal.
It's a fantastic opportunity for Samaya, freshman on freshman, shut her down, right?
Yeah. But for you and me both know, for a dynamic player like that, a first team All-American caliber player that can get a bucket at any time, it's not just going to be one person's responsibility to guard them for the full duration of the game. It's going to be everyone. So it's going to be Samaya. It's going to be Holly. It's going to be Ryan Cobbins. They're going to be throwing several defenders at Juju Watkins trying to get
my money's on a kid from Shawnee Mission. I'm putting my money on a Shawnee Mission West Viking. West Coast. But yeah, great time here on the Jagger Podcast, brought to you by Xfinity Black and Veatch and the University of Kansas Health System, this special March Madness edition. Again, it's like Disneyland for me and you. All day we've been in the office just looking at tickets and who's coming out, where we're going. It's just fun. It's fun. I granted, we thought 6 weeks ago we'd be in Omaha, maybe Indianapolis, but we weren't a 1 or a 2 seed where they protect you geographically. And so hey, we got on a plane. We got a kind of a man on an island mentality. Our 300-500 Jayhawks will be there with our team. You mentioned it, have a tight huddle. World's against you. I think we play better with a chip on our shoulder. I think we play better when we're an underdog that's a 9-point favorite, you know, and nobody, you know, I say that, but to your point earlier, hey, a couple turnovers, they had a couple threes. How are you going to react to adversity? And that's going to be the big point for me. Obviously, the other big, you know, thing to watch is how to Hunter and Kevin, the first 5 minutes, we're going to find out a lot about their mobility. You know, when Kevin was a step slow or whatever he was at Baylor, it was great to have him back because he was always in the right place, right time and all that. He just didn't have that lift. And he missed a couple layups, couple bunnies because he didn't have that lift. And maybe these last 10 days, he's gotten the right amount of therapy. And because Kevin doesn't miss two-footers. He doesn't miss free throws. And this injury has been annoying. But I think having this extended amount of time off, you're going to see a much different, hungrier, and healthier Kevin McCullough.
Yep, we're going to need it packed for 2 days or at least two games. Two-game tournament. Let's get after it.
Well, I think that'll do it, buddy. I think, you know, we're excited. I think we got everything right out in front of us. The men with a couple games in Salt Lake and the women with the ability to play the number one seed that if we had to pick of the four, you said it best, probably them. Now, it's on their home court. We're a long ways away. The crowd won't be in our favor, but we got the girls that can do it. We really do. And so that'll be it.
And how about this? Something else that's a little bit new to the March Madness dynamic, but certainly adds to it. The portal opened up on Monday. So now we got our eyes, both of our programs on portal combat, as I heard it described last year, which I think is perfect, but we got plenty more time to talk about that a little bit later on after we win a couple games in March.
But I'm glad you brought it up. It's the dumbest thing ever to open it up right now. It baffles me that they do it right now because we see teams that don't make the NCAA tournament that say, hey, we're not going to go to the NIT because we got to get out and recruit. So you're going to have Rick Pitino and Porter Mosier and Jeff Capel and a host of others that aren't playing in the NIT going after guys right now. That's legal. The portal's open. We're trying to get ready to win a national championship. We're not out there recruiting. We need to be kind of on the phones, but I think it's so dumb that they don't wait. Granted, people's seasons are over. I get it. But it's unfair to the teams that played the best all year. So I guess that's the way they even it out, that the teams that don't make it get the first shot at them. Doesn't that seem dumb?
Yeah, it's tough. You know, I'm pro portal, but the timing is really off. And the same dynamic that you just described there, guess what? Lance and his crew had to deal with that as their portal season opened while we're trying to get ready to go win the Guaranteed Rate Bowl. And then spring football starts this week for those guys. And guess what? Another portal window opportunity opens up on the other side of spring football. And so just seeing
which is more of a maddening concept that they have two deadlines. Like, why? There's no such thing as two deadlines. You have one deadline and then that's the deadline. But if you have one deadline in January, and you have another one in April, why do you have the deadline in January? Doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, adding to the madness, right? Add to the madness.
I need to step off my soapbox here. I don't know what happened. I apologize, but it is crazy. And obviously Kansas is going to have to utilize the portal. You know, we're not 100% sure how many guys will be back. We know who won't be back, but there'll be some that we may not know right now won't be back. There might be some that will come back that we don't expect. But let's just say we got five spots to fill. So those are going to be transfers. There's not like there's the Wayne Simeon out there that is in high school is like, hey, we should recruit Wayne now. No, high school kids are already committed for the most part. There might be a couple, but it's portal guys. And there's going to be, I'm going to guesstimate north of 2,000 in the portal. I saw something today that by like 10 a.m. there was already 500 kids in the portal. Nuts.
Yeah, it's tough. And hang in there, high school kids, because I know that because this whole portal dynamic has certainly bottlenecked the high school recruiting process, because it's kind of a trickle-down effect, right? So there's way more kids to enter into the portal, particularly from a high major Division I level, and then it funnels all the way down to a Division II level. Division II schools aren't offering high school kids the amount of scholarships that they normally do in a timely manner because they're waiting for Division I guys that got stuck in the portal to kind of trickle down. And now you've got really, really good high school players that haven't had an opportunity to make a commitment yet, that are kind of waiting in limbo there. So I know we've got several of those in the Kansas City area, man. So hang in there, stay sharp, stay ready. Your opportunity's coming, despite this portal madness.
Yeah. And like the success of a Dalton Connect at Tennessee is making every kid at a small school thinking, I'm the next Dalton Connect, right? So I'm going to go into the portal. And the sad part about the portal is there's going to be 2,000 plus kids in it. And I bet you, I don't know, 12, 1300 will find new homes. But do the math. That means 700 kids aren't going to play college basketball because they got in the portal and they don't have a home. Every year, we don't ever talk about this. We always talk about the good ones, but we don't ever talk about the ones that don't find a home. And once you leave, they don't have to take you back. So we need to dedicate a whole show to this because it's maddening. You and I,
new episode.
You and I have to live this every day, whether it's NIL, transfer portal, and whatever we have to deal with. And it's just, I can't imagine being a coach right now. It makes your job that much more difficult. But back to the positives. We said we weren't going to be negative. We're going to win a couple games, both programs, two in LA, two in Salt Lake, moved on to Portland and Detroit. Now we're going to keep marching this Jayhawk Nation train, right?
Let's do it.
Jayhawker Podcast, March Madness Special Edition, brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System, Xfinity, and Black & Veatch. Buddy, I will see you in Salt Lake on Thursday. I'm going tomorrow. I'll get all the fun places scoped out. There's a great distillery in Park City that I love, High West. I know you're a bourbon guy. The Double Rye High West bourbon is fantastic. So I will be there. I will save you a seat, and we'll have some fun. Sound like a deal?
See you there, bud.
Rock chalk.